check out Rush Collectibles' awesome horror figures, including the first and only Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 figures. For more information, go to rushfigures.com.
Remember, in the course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how the hell are you?
Hey, I'm not doing too bad. I'm living the dream.
Yeah, you say that every week. You say that every week, but sometimes the dream feels like a nightmare. But,
that is very true.
But we're in a dream right now because we get to talk horror. And especially today, we have a review coming up of Long Legs, which is out in theaters right now. But before we get to that and all the other goodness that we have, Ike, did you watch anything this week?
I didn't really watch a whole lot. Still watching Supernatural, of course. Still keeping up on that. We're into season, I think it's 11 now. They just removed the Mark of Cain from Dean and released the Darkness, Amara. So that's kind of where we're at right now. Very good stuff coming up. Eventually, another one of my favorite parts is basically the part of the series where they bring back Mary Winchester. And we start kind of getting into like the alternate universe kind of stuff.
Feels like their way to correct some of the mistakes they made, like by killing Bobby and Charlie and all these other people.
Right, exactly.
But I'm still watching Supernatural as well and still plugging away on my X-Files rewatch. Otherwise, not horror related, but I did watch all four of the Beverly Hills Cops movies, including the new one, which was pretty good. I really enjoyed it. But that's not horror related, but I did watch that. So,
right.
So let's move on then to our next segment.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And it is time for our cheesy slasher of the week. And this week we offer to you the movie X-Ray. This movie was described as, while receiving a routine checkup, a woman finds herself stranded on the hospital's 8th floor while someone dressed as a doctor is intent on her never leaving, even if it means killing any staff member who comes into contact with her. This movie was released on April 23rd, 1982, written by Mark Bim and Boaz Davidson, directed by Boaz Davidson, starring Barbie Benton, Charles Lucia, and John Van Ness, among others. The movie was also known as Hospital Massacre, Be My Valentine, Or Else, and Ward 13. It was pretty widely released in various forms as Hospital Massacre. The others, I think there was more working titles, but sometimes this movie can be found as Hospital Massacre. And just one fun fact on the movie, it was shot at night in an actual abandoned hospital, and the movie is available now on Tubi. To be viewed. Not too bad. Not a bad movie, but it's definitely a cheesy slasher. So if you're looking for something fun and bloody that doesn't have to make you think, that's what we offer you this week. Ike and I both love the cheesy slashers. So we are offering X-Ray to you for this week to view. I'd be very curious to see if anybody watches the cheesy slashers every week after we recommend them. That would be.
Should put a poll up and see if, be like, have you watched this? Or if not, are you going to watch it? Or are you not going to watch it? Or something like that.
or why don't you watch it?
Fair.
Because it's fun. Maybe we'll do something like that. But there you go. Cheesy slasher for this week is X-Ray, otherwise known as Hospital Massacre. So let's move on then to our next segment.
Seven Screams of Horror.
week, we're going to do Seven Screams of Horror. This is our take on the 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon. We gave ourselves an extra step just for ease sake. But it is where we will connect two actors, preferably through horror movies, but sometimes not necessarily. But and we try to connect them in as few stages as we can. We're usually given the two names by Ike's wife, Kayla, and she provided us two names this week. Ike, off the top of your head, I always forget to do this. Do you know the what? How's the point shit go for this? I can't remember how it goes.
Not a problem. I'll give you the points for those people playing at home. Basically, how it works is that if you can get a connection with a horror movie, so this means that not counting the person you're starting with or the person that you're ending with, there's 1 point for horror movies and 2 points for non-horror movies. And we do play by golf rules or putt-putt rules, so the lower your score, the better.
Okay, so one point for a horror movie, 2 points for a non-horror movie. And yep. we do not count the starting actor or the ending actor. It's just the stages in between. And this week, or this episode, we have been giving the actors Nicolas Cage, for obvious reasons, and Tobin Bell of Saul fame. So, Ike, what point-wise, what do you think you have this time?
If I'm thinking about it correctly, I believe I have a three-pointer, I think, or maybe a two-pointer.
Well, I have a two-pointer. I have a one connection between the two, but it is a non-horror movie. So
I say we might have the same one. I always get I know the points like on paper, but sometimes when we put it in practice, I always get confused.
Well, we'll talk it through. I guess I should mention that right now this is the third time we played, and so far I lead 1 win and we have 1 draw. So all right. So here's what I've got. I've got that Nick Cage was in Leaving Las Vegas with Shawnee Smith, who was in Saul X with Tobin Bell.
All right. I have Tobin Bell was in Saul with Danny Glover, and Danny Glover was in Rage with Nicolas Cage, but Rage is not a horror movie.
Okay, so I think that would probably be a draw for us then. Made a one stage connection, but non-horror. So we each got 2 points, so that would be yet another draw, leading it to me leading 1-0-2. So there you go. And I bet there's a multitude of ways to connect these two. Since both have been in several movies, I bet there's various stages, just all kinds of ways. So I'd love to see some. If people would like to put them out there on social media, how would you connect Nicolas Cage and Tobin Bell? And let's see what you can come up with. So there you go, another fun 7 Screams of Horror. This one, I had to kind of think this through a little bit. And
I did too. Here's the thing with this one is that there were a lot of potential connections.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. You know, Tobin Bell has been in quite a bit of stuff over his life, and so has Nick Cage. Tobin Bell's been on a lot of horror movies, whereas Nick Cage has had a lot slimmer of options.
Yeah.
And honestly, I had a pretty promising connection between Nick Cage and Alicia Watts, who I believe, or Witz, I think her name is. She's mm-hmm. in Long Legs with him. She plays the mom, which we'll get to later. But she was in Urban Legend back in the 90s, and like everyone was in Urban Legend. Like I think Lin Shaye was in Urban Legend, so was Daniel Harris and a bunch of other people. So, you know, there are a lot of ways you could potentially make these connections. It's just, especially when you have to go explicitly via horror movies, it gets a little dicey.
Yeah, I couldn't get it down to a one person connection through a horror movie. I couldn't. I'm not saying it's not out there somewhere, maybe, but boy, I couldn't find it this time. I kind of got stuck on the okay, what can we connect to one of the Saw movies? I didn't really go too deep on Tobin Bell. I know he's been in a lot of stuff, but I was just trying to. That was the easiest place to start. I kind of came up with this connection, you know, fairly quick. And I went through many more trying to see if I could get any less. If I get a 1-pointer, and I couldn't do it. I at least I couldn't come up with a one person horror connection between the two. But again, it might be out there. So if anybody can come up with that, I'd love to see it. And I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm just saying I wasn't smart enough to figure it out. So there you go. That is our seven screams of horror for this week. So let's move this train on and let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll have all of our news and birthdays and movie anniversaries. We got a bunch this week. So everybody stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news. All right. And, of course, welcome back to the news. Let's go ahead and get us started here. First things first, Terror Films is releasing a fifth installment of the found footage Hell House LLC franchise. This new episode, or episodic take, I guess you could say, or whatever you want to call it, is going to be called Hell House LLC Lineage, which will be coming to Shudder in October 2025. The movie will be written and directed by Steven Cognetti. Of course, we have talked about the Hell House franchise. You know, I do like the Hell House movies. There are 4 of them currently, obviously, and I've actually not seen the 4th one yet, which I believe is Hell House LLC Origins.
Yep.
And I've seen the first 3. I don't remember what one of them's called, but I know it's like Hell House, Hell House 2, Hell House 3. And I think 3 is called the Abaddon Hotel, or maybe the second one is. But in any case, they're great movies, great little watch. Definitely something to, you know, dive into when you have some time.
Yeah, I really enjoy the Hell House movies. This is, again, another little franchise that's kind of helped turn me around on found footage style films. So I really like them. And I am very much looking forward to this 5th installment. And we've got other news on found footage here in a little bit. But Hell House is one of those that's changed my opinions on found footage. And so I'm very much looking forward to this 5th movie.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. And in Terrifier news, Funko has announced a line of Art the Clown Funko Pops. They're going to be available for pre-order on Amazon now and are set to release on September 27th. Word is that they are now available in some Hot Topics. Kayla and I did go to our local Hot Topic and we did not find them in our mall. But I've seen some pictures and posts on social media from people. So, you know, obviously they're out there. And I think that the one that I want is the Art the Clown with the sunglasses, like the mm-hmm. flower glasses, that's covered in blood.
Yeah, that's I think that one is the Funko exclusive that has to be ordered straight off the Funko site. So I want to order that one as well. There's a regular and a bloody version. I think the bloody version is a chase. I don't think you can specifically order it.
Nope.
I think it's just a chase version. But the other 3, there's just a regular Art the Clown, I believe. There's a Art the Clown Bloody, but it is a different little pose a little bit. And then I believe there's one of him on the tricycle. And I pre-ordered all those on Amazon just in case I don't find them anywhere else beforehand. I have them pre-ordered so that I will get them this fall, worst case. But yes, I do want to go on the Funko site and because I love art with the flower glasses. That is so funny to me. And I want that. And so I will try to get that one too. But yeah, I've already pre-ordered the other 3. And there is talk, albeit it's just rumor at this point, that there are a few more coming in the future, probably maybe in the next year. And there is talk that one of them will be the little pale girl, that we will get one of her. So again, that's just rumor. Nothing confirmed from anybody of any significance. But that would be exciting if we got one of her.
Wow, yeah, that would be pretty legit. I'm sure there's plenty of other ones you'd like to see. Maybe some of the famous kills, or even some of the victims of Art the Clown. So I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with the, I like Funko Pops. There's something to me that's just fun and easy to collect. And they have such a wide variety of stuff that it's, you know, you can find. But when it's something that I really like Terry, it's like I really want them to go deep. And I don't know how deep they'll go. I wouldn't see why they wouldn't put out a Sienna one, because, you know, with her that classic outfit she has on in two. Man, how cool would it be from like the first one to pull out the one like with the hacksaw kill? I mean, yeah. That would I don't know that they would. I don't know. I don't know if they would go to that. But that would be great.
I don't know if they would go the whole nudity route. That's kind of what I was thinking, too. But
yeah, but I mean, they could do something around that. But I don't think they would do it. But God, that would be so cool. But who knows what we'll get in the future? I mean, never can tell. But I feel like they'll keep it pretty basic with the character. But hopefully we get, you know, a few more characters. And we, like I said, we got, you know, the first movie coming up, and lots of cool people in it. So who knows what other characters might develop? They might want to do one for. So I don't know, but in any way, I'm pretty stoked just to have these. This is pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, and in not so good news, only a few days after her birthday, the Shining star, Shelley Duvall, passed away on July 11th. I saw it on social media, and I texted Dave. I'm like, oh my God, did you see that Shelley Duvall died? And he's like, yeah, I've already posted it on social media too. So I was like, dang, I must have been late to the draw on that one. But, you know, obviously, you know, Shelley Duvall is known for her many, many works. You know, not just only her work on, you know, The Shining, but, you know, she was, Olive Oil and, Popeye, as well as she brought to life, I believe, two fairy tale TV shows or TV adjacent shows. So, you know, there's so much cool stuff that she did. So, you know, obviously she will be very deeply missed.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I love The Shining, but man, I don't, some people rag on it, but I love the Popeye movie. I love her and Robin Williams in it. I think it's great. I really enjoy that movie. And she was, it's like she was made to play Olive Oil. She was so perfect in everything, just physically, in her acting abilities. It was great. So, yeah, I mean, it's sad, but you know, she's I'm glad people, you know, maybe, you know, will. I hate when people pass and then they start getting appreciation after the fact, but you know, sometimes that's the way it is. So. Maybe some people will really be a little more appreciative of her work, because sometimes she doesn't get discussed, I don't think, as much as she should.
No, not at all. And in fact, there's actually a TikTok that is specifically about, like, you know, acknowledging her life's works and everything else. There was a woman on TikTok who actually befriended Shelley and, you know, visited her and has some videos about it, which I encourage everyone to go check out. They're actually really, really great. Definitely some wholesome content.
Yep, there you go.
But and then an additional sad news, Charm star Shannon Doherty has also passed away on July 13th. Again, she did more than Charmed. She did a lot of stuff, but definitely known for Charmed. That's how I have heard of her. I've never actually seen Charmed all the way through, but I do know her from that.
Yeah, probably most known for Beverly Hills 90210. That's where she really shot to fame. I mean, you know, became this pop culture thing. But you know, I wasn't really into that show, but, and again, I've not really seen much of Charmed, just here and there, but it's, you know, kind of the more applicable show, for what we discussed. But, she's, you know, gone too soon. I believe she was only 52, but I think she had breast cancer, and just, you know, It's sad when anybody passes, but especially when they pass well before the time that, you know, they should. It's pretty tragic.
I was gonna say, I feel like the other movie that I know her from pretty well is Mallrats.
That's right. Yeah,
you've never seen Mallrats. I love Mallrats.
Yeah, how could I forget that? Oh, great, she's awesome in that.
She is.
Mallrats is one of my favorite Kevin Smith movies. I love it.
Is your favorite Kevin Smith movie Chasing Amy?
It is not, no.
Or Jersey Girls?
Definitely not.
For those who are not in on the joke, those are arguably his worst films. Chasing Amy's not that bad of a movie, but
No. Chasing Amy's not too bad. Jersey Girls, ugh. But I am not a fan of J-Lo as in any capacity, as a musical artist, as an actress, or pretty much as a person. I'm not a J-Lo person.
Damn. Better watch out, J-Lo. Anywho.
I'm sure she's sweating me.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, let's move on to upcoming birthdays, and we can talk about J-Pad, our favorite J-Fan. July 19, 1982, Jared Padalecki, it's his birthday. Supernatural, House of Wax, Friday the 13th, Shall I Go On? He's known for many, many works, and currently his work on a TV show called Walker, which I hear is very good.
Yeah, it is. It was also canceled, so it's done. But
I saw him. So, I saw him getting kind of spicy on social media about it.
Yeah, he did. But yeah, so currently he's not really doing anything, but that's okay. He's got a pretty good body of work. I obviously I love him for Supernatural. Not a huge fan of the House of Wax remake. It's okay. The Friday the 13th remake or whatever you want to call it, it's pretty solid. He was also in a movie called Cry Wolf, which I know was not too great, but he was in it. Was also in Gilmore Girls. I think he's done a few other things, but he's done quite a few things and still got a lot left in the tank. There'll be some more impact for Mr. Padalecki in the future.
I love the episode of Supernatural because in the way you said that, it just kind of reminded me. But the episode where they like come into like real life and they're like,
yeah,
your name, what's a Jared Padalecki? When did you become Polish?
Yeah. When did you marry fake Ruby?
True. Oh, Lord. But yeah, of course, happy birthday, Jared. And get some more work so we can see some more stuff out of you. Stop shit talking people on social media.
Talk is that he'll be in season 5. There'll probably be a part for him and the boys. Because
I heard that.
Kripke wants to bring him in, and Padalecki has said when the call comes, he'll say, yes, when do you need me to fly out? So I'm sure they'll work him in somehow.
Oh, absolutely. All right. Moving on, July 21st, 1955, Adrienne King, of course known as Alice on Friday the 13th, Part 1 and Part 2. And she was also rumored to have a role in the, what is it?
Crystal Lake.
Crystal Lake. I don't know. I think we talked about her. Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows what's going on? What's going on with that? But hopefully she'll still be a part. That would be very cool because I always liked Alice was a great character. And they kind of killed her off very suddenly at the beginning of Part 2. But
wasn't that kind of like due to like her being like stalked in real life?
Yeah, she really pulled out of acting because she was stalked and was pretty intense. She's, obviously been back out there kind of in the public eye, done a lot of conventions and things. But here's hoping that whatever becomes of Crystal Lake, number one, here's hoping we still get Crystal Lake. And here's hoping that in some way she'll still be a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Moving on. July 21st, 1960, Lance Guest, known for his roles in Jaws the Revenge, Halloween 2, and The Last Starfighter. Lance Guest, isn't that also the name of one of the Backstreet Boys or something like that?
Nah, pretty sure that's Lance Bass.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Almost got him mixed up.
Yeah, I put him in here because Lance Guest, I love The Last Starfighter, and it's not a horror movie. But love that movie. One of my favorite movies of all time. But he was, Jaws of Revenge. We don't need to talk about that too much. Not the greatest movie. Halloween 2, obviously, I love. And he was very good in it as one of the EMT guys. Kind of the stand-up, the better of the two. The other one was kind of a sleazeball. But
he was.
Yeah. I like always like Lance Guest, though. But obviously, he'll forever be the star of The Last Starfighter for me.
There you go. Never seen it, but I'll have to check it out sometime.
Oh, it's a fun movie.
All right. July 21st, 1978, Josh Hartnett. We were actually talking about this movie last week, but he's known for his roles in Halloween H2O, The Faculty, one of my favorite 90s horror films. And then, of course, 30 Days of Night. And he is also, I have to say, going to be starring in the upcoming M. Night Shyamalan movie, Trap, which I'm very excited for.
Yeah, that's right. I still say H2O is very underappreciated in the Halloween franchise. The only downside of it is, Josh had a pretty peculiar haircut in it, but it was kind of a reflection of the time, I guess, but didn't age real well. But he was good in it. I very much enjoy his work, though, in all these movies. I think he's great. And I look forward to him in Trap.
Absolutely. And then moving on to July 22nd, 1893, almost got mixed up there. James Whale, known as the director of Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, and The Invisible Man. I've seen Frankenstein, so I guess I have seen his work. Iconic and a legend in his own right. And he's obviously dearly departed. If he wasn't, he'd be very, 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 very old.
Very old. And he had a pretty short directing career, but pretty impactful. When you put just those three movies alone. That's pretty good on the resume.
Yeah, I'd say so. But very awesome. And then I think this is an honorary mention for all those
it is
all those Stuffussy fans out there.
Yeah.
July 23rd, 1982, our boy Paul Wesley, known as Stefan, on The Vampire Diaries. Now look, I love Paul Wesley. I love the Stuffussy, but I very much preferred the other brother, which was. I'm going to draw a blank on his name now.
No idea.
But yeah, the other guy who was in that movie, Ian Somerhalder, is his actor's name, but I can't remember the brother's name. No, Damon. It's Damon.
I guess.
But I low key, it's one of my favorite horror TV shows. And I would dare any of you to go watch this show, get past like the first few episodes, and I think you guys will like it. It's pretty gory for being a CW show, I believe.
There you go. Yeah, it was definitely CW. I don't know. I've not watched Vampire Diaries yet. Can't really say much about this or this and that, but I had to put him on here just so we could talk Stuffussy again because, it's been a while since we've had that. So, we're throwing that out there. And when it comes time to post that on social media, I'm sure we'll put the old, Stuffussy graphic back out there just because, I want to. So there you go.
Fantastic. Absolutely. Top work. All right. And we have a bunch of upcoming movie anniversaries. July is always a strong month to release movies, that's for sure. But starting us off here, July 18th, 1980, Prom Night. This is the OG Prom Night from back in the Dizzy. I have seen this movie. It is very good.
Absolutely.
I mean, obviously, it has, Leslie Nielsen, Jamie Lee Curtis, as well as many, many others.
Prime Jamie Lee. Yeah. Good stuff. Love this movie. I don't even know if I've seen the remake, but I don't know. I don't believe I have it. It's okay, because, man, the original's great.
Very good. I have seen the remake. It's pretty good. It's a pretty typical slasher, I'd say.
There you go.
But, all right. July 18th, 1986, Aliens. This is, of course, the second of the original Aliens trilogy. In my opinion, I love Alien, but Aliens is better in my mind. And this is the iconic Game Over, man. Game Over.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty solid movie. I primarily threw it on there because we got a new Aliens coming out here in the near future, late summer, early fall, something like that. I can't remember the exact time period.
Coming up in the
near future. So, not that it's not worthy of mentioning on its own, but, pretty relevant now with another movie coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I remember correctly, the new movie, it takes place between the first two movies. It's called Alien Romulus, and I'm pretty sure it takes place like during that time period where Ripley's like in cryo sleep, just like drifting, I believe.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. But yeah, there you go. Moving on. July 18, 2014, The Purge: Anarchy. A lot of these Purge movies got released around July. Just kind of summer blockbusters, you know, action-packed thriller type movies. So
yeah, around Independence Day usually. You know, it was in that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I feel like we've had a lot of Purge movies recently, but that's okay because I enjoy the Purge movies.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that they are they bridge on political satire. I mean, it's, you know, they definitely get pretty close, and I love it. It's just a lot of fun, and yeah, even for people who've never seen them, you know, it's check them out. You will not be sorry. The first one's got Ethan Hawke in it too.
Yeah, the first one's great. I mean, it's just great, great, great. Pretty, you know, it's a great concept. I mean, it really is. And I don't know. It's one of those things where you watch it, and it's like the more and more things occur in the world, you just think, I don't know if this is that big a reach in the world anymore. I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's just, I'm not going to go down that avenue, but some, you know, like the further we go, the little more believable it becomes. But
you're not wrong.
Yeah. The first movie is great, but the whole franchise is, it's pretty solid. Pretty good.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And July 19th, 1985, Day of the Dead. Day of the Dead is, of course, the sequel to Dawn of the Dead. This movie has been remade into oblivion as of all of the George Romero of the Dead movies. But Day of the Dead, 85, it's a good one. It's got some pretty iconic scenes. I feel like the nightmare sequence with the hands coming out of the wall is pretty iconic.
Yeah.
And then the kind of like sentient zombie that shoots people is kind of iconic as well from this.
Yeah. I enjoy Romero pretty much all the way around, so I'll always throw a Romero flick here on the movie anniversaries, and give a little shout out to our buddy Paul A. Brooks, who's a big Romero fan and loves all the Romero films, so there you go.
Yeah, definitely big up to Paul. Hope you're doing good, fam. I think that's what the kids say these days. Fam.
Fam.
I don't know, bro. I don't know how this goes. I just say words, whatever comes to mind.
But yeah, all right. Stuff pussy.
Stuff pussy. So we have a lot of movies that came out on July 22nd. July 22nd, 1977, The Hills Have Eyes. I have seen the OG Hills Have Eyes, and I've seen the newer one. It's all right. I'm not a huge fan of The Hills Have Eyes, but it's all right.
Yeah, it's okay, but it's a pretty known iconic film. Yeah, it's not one of my favorites per se, but it's not bad.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that people talk about a lot when they talk about movies from the 70s.
Yeah, there you go.
But all right, July 22nd, 1983, 6 years later, Jaws 3D. Yeah, you know, I'm just not a fan of like 3D movies. I've as someone who's worked in a movie theater, I've long held the opinion that like 3D movies are just a fucking scam. Because they just, I mean, it's just, I don't know. They basically shoot these movies to like have like these 3D perspectives, and sometimes it just doesn't make any sense. So I'm not a fan of it. But hey, if you are, more power to you. Never seen Jaws 3D, but I'm not imagining it's award winning.
No, it's not that great. And it's pretty much one of those movies where it's just 3D because they can, not because it really adds anything to the story. But it's not one of the best of the Jaws franchises. So
yeah, you know, I usually find that most 3D movies are just 3D just because, typically. So take that for what you will. anywho, moving on. I gotta say, I don't think that this one's supposed to be on here. July 22nd, 1989, you said Scream. I don't think that movie came out in 89. But unless this is another movie called Scream that came out in 89.
No, what did I do there? What did I... I don't know. Here, let me see here. Scream came out.
I think the Scream came out in December of like 99, didn't it? Or 98?
Hell, where's the date on here? Fudge. It came out December 96. So yeah, I don't know what that is. I don't know why I put that or what that was supposed to be.
there's probably a movie somewhere that we.
I'm sure there's a movie that's supposed to be there, but I don't know why I typed Scream. So yeah, let's just disregard that altogether.
There you go. Moving right along then. July 22nd, 2005, The Devil's Rejects. We've talked at some great length about, Rob Zombie and our love-hate relationship with the man. And, The Devil's Reject is just kind of all right. I liked House of Thousand Corpses much more than I did The Devil's Rejects, but, take that for what you will.
Yeah, me too. But, I know, that's like Rob Zombie. I feel like either love him or hate him. And, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of his movies. I'm much more a fan of his music. Whatever.
Yeah, pretty much. I feel like that's what we usually say. It's like the ongoing thing we usually say. Like, oh yeah, his music's good. Otherwise, not much.
Yeah, I did my due diligence to put it in there. And we talked about it. So, no offense, just not my, I don't know, not my style of movie making.
Yeah, I don't think so. Me neither. But, all right. Anywho, moving on. Upcoming releases, guys. We got three for you. Honestly, these are all like in the future releases. So these are true. Like, hey, keep an eye out for these in the future.
But all so solid. These are three excitings for me. I mean, these are stoked for all three of these.
Yep. No, absolutely. So first things first, VHS Beyond is coming to Shudder on October 4th and will include segments directed by Justin Long, Mike Flanagan, and Kate Siegel. I would say she's mostly known for her acting, but she's like in like Fall of the House. Basically anything Mike Flanagan's done, she's in, but like because they're married. She's like Fall of the House of Usher. She's in Black Mass. She's in the Haunting of Hell House, Hush. I mean, so much good stuff. And to be fair, she's fantastic in all of them. She is a very talented woman. So I'm very excited to see anything she puts out. And obviously, I'm excited for Mike Flanagan and Justin Long as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's other segments with other people. So I'm not to undermine any of those. These were kind of just the name value ones, whatever else. But, God, I love the VHS movies. This is probably the franchise here recently that's started me turning around on the found footage. I've enjoyed them all and I'm super stoked with this. I think this one has more of a sci-fi kind of feel to it. It's what I believe it's supposed to have. I'm super excited. I cannot wait.
Yeah, absolutely. And, it's also a Shudder film, so that's what I was gonna say. I was like, I lost my train of thought, but it's a Shudder film, and of course, we love to support Shudder and Screambox, so gotta throw that out there. Speaking of Screambox, Creeping Death is coming to Screambox this fall. This Halloween slasher is described as, while trying to enjoy a peaceful Halloween with his mother. I went all Busta Rhyme for a minute. Tim is paid a visit by his friends. After reluctantly letting them in, he becomes intertwined in the circumstances of their Halloween prankings. Anything based around Halloween is just great. Halloween is such a iconic time of year just to begin with. And so anytime a movie is set around that time, I'm just so stoked for the fall vibes and the ambience, you know?
Yeah, and this one, there's more to it. People can go out there and kind of look it up. It's description. It goes even deeper into Halloween, some Halloween lore, and some things with what happens. We didn't really put it in here I didn't want to give away too much per se what we say, just give it the overall view. But this movie just sounds right up my alley, and I cannot wait to see it. It has gotten a lot of attention since reaching this agreement with Screambox and everything else. And it sounds like it's just going to be so fun and kind of one of the first kind of fall release things that's kind of come out, to our attention that's just gonna, really hit in that spooky season.
Yeah, absolutely. And then one last upcoming release. This one is a little bit far away, but, it's good to know. Mm. Conjuring 4 has been given a theatrical release day of September the 5th, 2025. So, we're still a little over a year away from this, but this is said to be the last of the Conjuring movies in terms of Ed and Lorraine Warren's involvement with the films, a.k.a. Vera Farmiga. And then Patrick Wilson. So, obviously I'm excited for it. I'm super stoked for any Conjuring movies. So, I think it'll be good. I think it'll be very enjoyable, and I'm excited for it.
Yeah, me too. And, they've given it the date now. So that's why we're saying, it's a ways out, but they announced it. So we're going to put it out there. So everybody can put it in your calendars. I'm sure when that time comes, we'll be reviewing it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. But that being said, speaking of all these things, speaking of all the stuff that we've talked about here today, if you want to keep up to date with us and also keep up to date with any of the stuff that you heard about here today, we like to keep you guys up to date on anything new and upcoming, any releases, all that good jazz. So if you want to keep up to date with that, follow us on social media. Obviously, we like to pitch it at various times throughout our podcast, but I went ahead and did it now. So get with it. Mm-hmm. So. With that being said, when we come back, we will have our official review of Long Legs. Stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/WrasslePod. That is linktr.ee/RASSLEPOD. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
All right, and welcome back to Listen to Their Screams. It is time for the review, and this time we are reviewing Long Legs, which was released in theaters July 12th, written and directed by Oz Perkins, starring Mike Monroe, Nicolas Cage, Brother Underwood, and Alicia Witt. The movie grossed $22,600,000 domestically, which was good for number two for the opening weekend. And it has made it the top opening weekend for a horror movie so far this year. I know people will say, oh man, that much and only number two. Yeah, it's still behind whatever it is.
One of those,
Inside Out 2 or whatever it is, that one of those animated juggernauts, which is, on some kind of record breaking pace and this and that. So, but again, $22,600,000 top opening weekend for a horror movie this year. And we are talking about an independent film here. This is not any of the major studios. This is an independent film who went out, found, distribution, found this and that, and this is what it is. And they have done this pretty much via their marketing campaign, because they completely built up the hype and the anticipation for this movie by releasing certain things here and there, teasers, posters, whatever, by keeping the image, the look of Nick Cage's character in this under wraps. And I do hope all of you out there who are listening will just continue that, right? Don't share, don't post anything about what Nick Cage looks like in this film. Let people see it for the first time as they watch it. And, we're going to be pretty hardcore today in keeping this spoiler free, because people really need to see this movie on their own. And all I got to say, I got a lot to say, but let me start by saying, if this were the end of the year right now, pretty much hands down so far, this would be my top horror movie so far of the year.
Oh yeah.
I have to say, I fucking loved this movie. I was the only one in the theater right? Because I go early on the weekend, and I actually had my phone and was typing in notes on my notepad as I went, because I really thought I'm gonna really, you know, make sure I document my thoughts as we go. So let me run through some of these things, and then you can fire back or add to it as you want. All right. So here's the thing. These were real time thoughts as I was watching it. I thought the movie was creepy and tense right from the start, just right from the get go. And, I love the way how they opened in that home movie looking, you know, small, ratio. And then when the movie got after the title screen, it expanded out into, you know, your normal ratio for a movie. I thought it was pretty cool. Right from the get-go and throughout the movie, I love the Harker character, Monroe's character. I thought, man, she was great. She did such a knockout job, just unbelievable. I loved the shooting and the pace of the movie. I thought the movie, it kept the story moving while it still built tension and uneasiness. And I thought the shooting and the pace of the movie really worked well with that Harker character and the way and the way she was. I just thought it even added to her a lot. And I thought we've talked a lot about music and scores and stuff. I thought they made a lot of strong choices when to use and not use music and made some really good choices on the music itself. I thought it really added a huge dimension to the movie. I felt like the movie kept you thinking throughout the entire thing, kept you paying close attention, to make sure that you didn't miss anything. Because you're sitting there watching this entire thing, trying to figure it out with them, right? Trying to figure out what's going on, trying to help solve this mystery with them through the entire movie. So I felt like it really kept you super invested and paying close attention. I just felt like the movie just kept adding layers as it went on, right? It just there was more and more put onto it. That just really kept you all the invested. And I thought the movie was super reminiscent in a vibe feel as a to Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
I felt like it just had that vibe, that feel to it, which I loved. And again, not going to spoil, but dude, what a fucking ending. And, it kind of threw me for a loop when it got there. I didn't really, like I said, I was trying to anticipate, trying to figure this out. I didn't really see where it was going. I didn't see kind of the one aspect that they brought into this movie. But dude, I fucking love this movie. It was so damn good. It is one of those movies that I am just jonesing to go back to the theater and watch it again. And I don't know. I cannot praise it enough. I've heard people say it's the scariest movie they've ever seen. I don't know about that because, you know, I mean, we watch a lot of movies. But it was definitely very tense. It built a lot of tension to it. Scary to me is not the right. I mean, there were scary parts. Don't get me wrong. I won't go so far as to say it's the scariest movie of all time, but it definitely had a tension and a very built feel of uneasiness throughout the entire film. I can't say that. I love it. Like, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, well, first and foremost, you know, to kind of add to a couple things that you said, you know, the music, it was beautifully done. The sound effects, everything about it, you know, there is just this sort of, like you said, the music helped to bring tension to the film. And like you said, the ratio of the beginning of the film, you know, obviously the opening ratio is a little different than what the rest of the film is in. Yeah. And literally I saw somebody comment about the ratio of the film that they walked out of the movie because they didn't like the aspect ratio of it.
I saw that too. I'm like, really? That quickly? I'm like,
I wanted to comment and be like, well, first of all, you're a fucking idiot. But second of all, it literally changes like 15 seconds after you left the movie. So, you know, way to out yourself for being the stupidest person on this earth. Anyways, I hate people like that. Anywho, but no, I mean, this movie literally, like you said, it was not a super scary movie. It was deeply unsettling. Obviously we don't want to spoil anything, so I'll kind of keep it light here, and then I'll kind of mention something here in a minute about that. But obviously, everyone knows that Nicolas Cage plays the main antagonist, right? That's not a mystery. And it's just in the very beginning of the movie, you get a very brief glimpse of him.
Yeah.
And that just set the entire movie up for just the super creepy, the super unsettling, this just super dark and, like, you know, it just seeps like this sort of, you know, evil. Like, it just, you know, the way it was filmed and everything else, the color palettes, I mean, just everything about it, I don't know what the word is. It's just dark, you know, and that was just so unnatural and unnerving that, like, you're watching the movie, you really have no clue what the fuck is about to happen. At no point in that movie did I have any idea what was happening. I thought, you know, this is going to be a serial killer movie. And then it ended up being a lot more than just a serial killer.
Yeah.
And it just, one of the things, and this happens in the beginning, I won't say what happens, but do you remember the scene where they go up to that house? Because the movie starts with them hunting a different serial killer.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm not going to spoil it because I think it's pretty integral to, like, sort of what transpires later in the film.
Yep.
But that scene, that very opening scene, not only do you get the super jarring opening where, like, it's like in that weird ratio and everything else, but then you also get, like, this secondary, like, cold open to the movie that is also just as jarring, in its own way. And this movie, it doesn't hold back. I mean, this movie is, you know, it's obviously set in, like, the 90s, I believe, because Bill Clinton's on the wall, so he was president in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously this movie is not set in modern times, and they very much made sure you knew that. And what I mean by that is that there is a certain amount of helplessness that comes with, like, the technology of those days, where you couldn't just phone the police, you couldn't pull your cell phone out and call your backup, you know. You would have had to have, you know, radioed from the car if there was issues, or you would have had to, you know, if you had a car phone maybe. But, like, yeah, no, it very much plays up on that because you feel so disconnected, right? And they give you this air of literally you are alone, right? It literally just emanates this loneliness, and it just, it is suffocating, but it's so good because it draws you in and you're just like, what is going on? But it's just, oh my God. That literally the first scene where you see Nick Cage's character for the first time, you see him for like a second, and it is enough to send chills down your spine and just absolutely your heart rate goes up, and you just sit in there and you're just like, that was something. That is truly something. And like you said, if 2024 ended today, this would be number one, hands down. I mean, there are movies that have come out this year that I have loved, but there are no movie that has, there is not a single movie that has come out this year yet. And I, you know, I'm sorry to Life of Belle, I'm sorry to Frogman, I'm sorry to Hunting for the Hag. You guys are fantastic, but this movie, oh my God, this movie just really, it sets itself apart because of, like, what they were able to accomplish with so little. It's just, oh man. And what I mean by so little is it wasn't super complex. There's no CGI. There's no deep action. There's just a story, and it's just being told sort of like in this weird, you know, motion. And it's just, oh, it's beautiful. Chef's kiss.
Yeah. That the glimpse at the beginning that we get of his character, just, it made me that, even with everything going on and everything else, it made me sit there that entire movie the majority of the movie. And just all I could think is, come on, I want to see more. I want to see more of him. And there were a couple other cases where there was this little glimpses. And I'm like, oh, I want to see him. And, and when you do, it's a good payoff, right? I mean, it is just, you watch, and as things are developing in this movie and things are happening, and there are certain instances and scenes, and as you're watching it, you're like, how does that fit into the bigger picture of the movie? And it makes you wonder. And it's what I said when I said something about layers. That's what the movie did. It felt like it kept doing the entire movie, right? Just building these layers onto what was happening until they kind of gave you some, started, you know, giving you some reveal in that third act. And it, to me, it paid off great. It was just, was so good. It wasn't, they didn't overcomplicate things with the reveal, right? They didn't, when you find out what the movie's about and what's happening, they didn't give you this huge, overly convoluted, you know, you have to, well, you missed 90% of the reasoning there. This, it didn't really do that, right? It got right to it. It made enough sense. It satisfied you. I don't know. I feel like there's obviously more they can do with this franchise, right? There's lots of things they can do with it. And so many directions, because there's, you're right. I mean, because we join things when it's already kind of at, you know, whatever you want to call it, a panic situation, right? It's not like we're building. We don't build to this panic situation with the serial killer. It's already there, right? It's already, so, you know, there's just, as far as sequels, spinoffs, prequels, whatever. I feel like there's lots of things they could creatively do if they want to. But I, you know, I enjoyed this movie so much. It was fun. You know, I like, you know, kind of crime thriller type movies. It had that. It had enough horror, enough tension that it was, you know, good in that vein. It really, there was just so much that just kept you feeling uneasy, kept you feeling tense, kept you just wanting. It's like where you could almost just, you couldn't wait for some resolution. And then, it did a very good job of that. And then giving you the release, you know, at the end to ease you back down. And, I thought it was a gorgeous shot movie. And it's online. It seems like every movie it's just become this norm that everything has to be divisive online. And I don't know the reasoning. I don't know why. Because there's some, you know, like you said, someone said they walked out after 10 minutes or whatever. Yeah. And I've seen people just say, oh, I hated it. It was the worst movie. It was so boring. And it's like, you know, and I don't know. I feel like there's such a segment of people that just go into these movies expecting or wanting to be disappointed and wanting to go online to complain. And I feel like they're just predetermined to do that. And I'm not saying this movie is necessarily for everybody and everybody's going to love it, but I just don't see how you could watch this movie and think, I hate it. It's the worst thing ever. It was completely boring. I could feel, you know, maybe someone could come out and say, nah, I don't know, what really for me. Okay, so be it. Because, you know, there's plenty of movies like that. But I just feel like everybody, I don't know. I feel like some people just set out to go online and trash it, no matter what it is. That's just what they want to do. That's just their approach to things. So I feel like if you have not seen this movie yet, with any movie, just be very leery about what you read online if people are posting on social media. Because I feel like people just bash stuff because they think it's the cool thing to do. And it's really kind of annoying. I feel like people have lost touch sometimes with movies just being enjoyable. And I don't know. I don't know what their expectations are with movies, that they think every movie should be Academy Award winning level with these intricate plots and this and that. And I don't know why people can't just relax and enjoy a movie. And at the worst come out of it saying, I was okay. Right. You know, and it just perplexes me so much that, I don't know, people have got this over, whatever you want to say, overcritical view of the things, no matter what it is. But I loved the movie. I thought it was just so much fun. My favorite horror movie of the year so far. And again, we've got some really great movies coming up, but this one will be hard pressed for me probably to get knocked out of the top five. I just don't know that there'll be that many strong movies the rest of the year to knock it all the way out of the top five. Not saying it can't happen, and we'll see come the end of the year. But so far, we discussed so much how a bit of a letdown with some of the lackluster in the first half, right? And
yeah,
how, there were some okay movies, but there wasn't not as much blew us away as what we hoped. And here we are now, July, in the second half. This really kicks it off on a super positive note for me. And I'm so glad this thing was able to get a theatrical release and has done so well. And I hope that opens doors for some of these other independent films to get out there and really, really show what they can do. And again, I like Nick Cage overall. There's obviously some roles in some movies. It's like, I can take him or leave him in some. There are some movies I really like him in. But I thought he was really strong in this movie. But Monroe carried this movie. She was fantastic. This movie was about her. She was the star. And she was just excellent. As was Blair Underwood. Blair Underwood was really good in it too. And did a great job as her, whatever you want to call it, boss or ranking superior officer, whatever I don't know how you label it. Such a fun movie. So well done, well cast, well acted, well shot, great music, great coloring. I don't see any really over the top flaws, with the movie. Nothing jumps out at me as and again, we'll pump the brakes a little.
Yeah.
Cause it's not like this is just a groundbreaking movie per se, right? It's not, other movies have done what this movie has done before, right? And again, like we said, this is very reminiscent of a Silence of the Lambs movie, right? With kind of a modern filmmaking approach to it. But it's very similar in that vibe. And I mean that in a good way. But I love the movie. I enjoy the movie, but it's not like this movie is completely breaking the mold. But it is, for what they tried to do, they knew what they were setting out to do and they did it very well.
Yeah. And one thing I do want to add to it too is, one thing that I feel like a lot of people also complained about with this movie too is that they felt like, and I'm trying to say this like in a non-spoiler way, they a lot of people came into this for Nick Cage, and
he's not the driving force.
No. And because you kind of mentioned it, but Micah Monroe is 100% the boss here. I mean, she is the lead. She is the protagonist. I mean, she's the whole nine. And I just, a lot of people who went into this, I feel like they were expecting Nick Cage, Face Off Part 2 or some bullshit like that. And it's like, I feel like a lot of people just need to realize that, like, Nick Cage, he has done the work. He's already become famous. He's already one of the most well-known actors on this earth. He can do movies like this. He can be his weird, quirky self. And, like, he did a fantastic job, obviously. Nick Cage is a goddamn legend. But this movie's not about Nick Cage. It's about Micah Monroe's character. And I feel like a lot of people need to kind of remember that going into this, that this is not a Nick Cage movie. This is a movie featuring Nick Cage.
Yeah. And I really thought, the amount of Nick Cage in his character was perfect for the movie. I really felt like you did not get overexposed to the character, which kept, I'm trying to choose my words wisely to not make sure I don't reveal anything, to keep the impact that the character made in the film. I thought they did a really good job of the amount of screen time when they gave a a tease or a glimpse, and when they really, you know, put it out there for us, I thought they were very wise in their approach to that.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, then, Ike, if you don't have any more really comments to throw into it, let's go ahead and rate this thing. I can get it started if you want. This is, I'm no doubt here. I'm going 4 out of 5 on this film. I loved it. I thought it was more than a fun movie. I thought it was a notch above. Again, not a perfect film. It didn't have, you know, a lot of flaws per se. But again, you know, not groundbreaking over the, you know, so much. It did lots of things, took lots of elements, put them together, did them well. But didn't really, you know, didn't really, you know, like I said before, shatter the mold, but super fun movie. My top pick so far of 2024, and I'm giving it 4 out of 5 screams. Ike, what are you thinking?
Yeah, you know, I thought about it, and immediately after leaving the movie theater, I was like, this is obviously a 4. And so I've kind of consistently rode that line, but for a second I was like, this is almost a 4.5. It was just such a superb movie. It continuously left me unsettled even after watching the movie. You know, there are so many things from the movie. There's so many memorable things from the movie, and it's just so good. But yes, I think after the clarity after watching the movie, I think I would give this a 4 out of 5, which means that this is our first, I think, unanimous 4 out of 5 movie of the year, is it not?
I believe so. I believe this is, so this would be, yeah, probably our first movie of the year to get a 4 stars, combined, you know, between the two of us, because, yeah, I think so. Cause I know maybe there's been one or two, maybe you've given 4s too, but I don't think I did. So that would have brought it down slightly. So, yeah, I believe thus far, this will be our highest ranked movie of the year.
Yeah.
And, that's, you know, again, when we come to the end of the year, we don't just purely look at the rankings and what we rank them. We kind of just reevaluate everything in the grand scheme and compare to everything. Again, if I look at what's come out so far in 2024, I mean, to me, this is pretty unanimous, my favorite movie. I've enjoyed a few other movies, but not to this level. Again, there's some really, really high impact movies that I'm looking forward to in the second half, that will very much challenge that. But so far, this is the movie to beat for me. So,
100%.
Very much enjoyed it. Hats off to everybody for what their work on this. And, again, if you've not seen it, I would advise to go. This is very much one of those movies that is, to me, added a whole dimension to see it in a theater. It was perfect for a theater, and it needs to be seen. So don't believe if you know the bullshit people leaving after 10 minutes, and if anybody says anything like that, just fuck those people and go see the movie and formulate your own opinion. I just don't see how anybody could formulate an opinion on a movie after 10 minutes. And I don't know. I've seen some really bad movies in the theaters, and I don't. I've never walked out of a movie, so
yeah.
I just don't. I don't know. I don't.
If you didn't walk out of Cabin Fever, I mean.
Yep. True. There's been some bad movies I've seen in theaters, but none of them to the point of I felt like I wanted to get up and walk out. And again, I don't know. I 10 minutes, really? What fucking movie is that defined in 10 minutes? I mean, how can they ruin it in 10? Whatever. I know. Part of me wants to call bullshit on that anyway. It's just somebody again trying to get a response online.
Classic but, rage bait.
Whatever. Fuck those people. And if you're one of those, if you're the one of those people listening, if that's you, you did it and you're listening. Yeah, you know what? Fuck you. And I'll say it. And you know, message us. Whatever. Let's talk about that because.
You want to come on the show?
Yeah, you want to come on and talk to that because I got to know that approach, and woof, blows my mind. So anyway, so there we have it, our review of Long Legs, a Nick Cage or a movie with Nick Cage in it. We discussed Nick Cage in our 7 Screams of Horror, We talked about it last week. There was another Nick Cage movie that came out this week. And you know what? We're going to review that next week. Let's keep the Nick Cage train rolling on. Next week, we're going to review Arcadian, which is now available on Shudder. We talked about this movie last episode, and it just came out on Shudder on the 12th as well. And we're going to review that next week. So there you go. A little more Nick Cage fun for you. He's got a little more prominent role in that movie, I believe. And we'll see what we think of that one. So that is coming next episode. Before we skip out of here today, thank you to our wives for all their support and everything they do. And thank you to all of our listeners and followers. And one more time, thank you to everyone for all your support for our last episode, our 100th episode. All the great feedback, all the congratulations we got, all the people that sent in clips congratulating us. It warmed my heart, brought a tear to my eye, and it was really special. One of those things that me as a podcaster, as a content creator, I'll never forget. It was very touching, and I greatly appreciate it, and I greatly appreciate it. All the people, you know, filmmakers, actors, followers, listeners that we've encountered and met through this journey so far. I'm glad that we've crossed paths. I don't know how many times I've listened to that little segment with everybody sending in their congratulations, because it just makes me smile every time I hear it. So
absolutely, 100%. I have to add, I love the little clip from our friends from Life of Bell. I thought that was the most adorable thing on this earth.
Yeah, Sean bringing his daughter on the star of Life of Bell, on to help give us a congratulations. And as Sean said, she's turned into quite the little diva since starring in a movie and, you know, being on Screen Box and everything. So no, I kid. It was super cute to hear her tell us congratulations.
I'm surprised she agreed to do it. I figured I would be on her shit list for even daring to ask the recast her.
We always get older, yeah, perhaps. But I don't know. Maybe, I guess Sean paid her booking fee. I wonder how many toys it took to get her to do that. So, but no, it was great. Everybody that agreed to do that and sent something in, and it was special, and we appreciate that. And, we'll do it again in another 100 episodes and see what we get that time. We got a little ways to go till we get there though. So, but we will. We'll get there.
We will.
We'll be probably still reviewing Nick Cage movies at that time, because I'm sure I don't think the man will ever stop. And let's hope he doesn't. So, all right.
He's got bills to pay, motherfucker.
Yeah, he does. Nick Cage had some tax issues there for a while. That's so, I'm not speaking ill of the man. I'm just saying, you gotta do what you gotta do.
True.
And, I love Nick Cage. Anyway, so, Ike, before we get out of here, anything else you want to throw in there?
You know, I'm going to try and give my best impersonation here, but, there she is, the almost birthday girl. If you don't catch that reference, watch the movie.
That's pretty good. Thank not you. Bad. Yeah, not bad. Not bad. makes me chuckle. No, go see Long Legs. Hopefully you enjoyed that review. Hopefully we tried not to spoil anything. I don't think we did. I don't think we tiptoed around enough. But again, next episode we'll be reviewing Arcadian, a little more Nick Cage in our life. But until then, make sure you follow us on social media. Make sure you subscribe to us on whatever podcast platform you are listening to us. And until next episode, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.